Yeah, Kids Across America, KAA Camp. I went there for the first time last year. I remember sharing with you guys. And if you've never been to KAA, it's a place that I would highly suggest everybody experience at least once. At least once experience camp at Kids Across America up in Golden, Missouri, for a week of just being poured into, a week of the gospel, a week of learning and growing with others who are of like mind and of like culture. There's no place like it. No other camp like it. There's no other place like it. There's no other program offered, I don't think, like Kids Across America. And so, like I said, if you get the chance, please go, because it's not just for the Kids Across America. Us adults go and we get poured into, we get encouraged, and we get to learn through the scriptures as well. While the kids are doing their camp, you guys saw them doing their dances. You guys saw, I've probably seen some pictures and videos of them doing zip lining and all these other kind of activities. The adults have the exact same experience on the other side of camp, just for adults. We do the KA dances. It looks a little less sharp and a little less energized than the kids do. Our joints may look something like this instead of like this. You know, we may lift that leg a little bit lower, but we do it, right? We have our time together. Some of us go on the zip line. Some of us, I'm not one of the some of us, but some of us do go on the zip line and get up there way off the ground with only a rope holding you and sliding down this little rope. Some of us do that. There's tubing, there is volleyball, there's a pool, there's a driving range. There's all these things that we get to do, get to experience, the same as the kids. But the most important thing we get to experience at this time is the time of being poured into and refreshed in the Word. We have Bible studies every single day, just like the kids do. As a matter of fact, we have multiple Bible studies per day and times of worship together, and it's an amazing thing that we get to do that. We're at camp. As you guys know, if you've ever been to camp and been an adult at camp, camp is very draining. Camp is, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort, so the kids can have a good experience, and I would not trade that for the world, except for Kids Across America, because when we get to go to camp at Kids Across America, I don't get drained, I get poured into, so when I come back, I'm ready to pour in my students even more after camp, and so I thank God for Kids Across America. What I want to talk to you guys this morning is about not this past summer. This past summer's theme was Overcomer, and I spoke about that a little bit short and small detail. But I want to go back to the last summer, the summer before in 2025, because God is continuing to speak to me about that theme, apply pressure. I know I spoke to you guys about it not too long ago, about applying pressure and what that looks like, and God's kind of morphed this apply pressure into even more of a theme and more of a lesson in my life that I want to share with you. But if you go to James 1:12 would be the theme verse and the verse we're going to land on. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Father God, thank you so much for that crown of life that you've promised to us as we persevere and walk through these tests and these trials. Father God, as we move through these, we know that you go before us, make a way, you protect us, Father God, and you keep us. We're praying, Father God, you help us to fight the enemy's advances. Father God, let us wear the full armor of God, extinguishing those arrows fired by the enemy, so that we can be made whole and complete in you. As we speak this morning about applying pressure, Father God, help us to hear a word from you that would touch our hearts and cause us, Father God, to move in a way that we would walk with you differently. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. So apply pressure. This is the theme verse, obviously, for it. And the overall visual or the physical representation they gave of this was, if you think about, and I talked to you guys about this, if you think about an orange, you have an orange. And orange is very distinct. It has a distinct color, a distinct look. Oranges are round. Oranges have a certain peel on them, a certain feel to them, a certain texture. The inside of an orange looks a certain way. It tastes a certain way, and certain things come from an orange. If I were to go to find an orange, I have to go to what kind of a tree? Orange tree. I can't find an orange tree on a lemon tree. I can't find an orange on a cherry tree. I can't find an orange on a peach tree. If I want to find an orange, I have to go find an orange tree where other oranges are hanging out. So if I go to where other oranges are hanging out, I'm going to go find this orange, right? With this orange, if I were to peel this orange, what's inside that orange? orange, right? I'm not going to peel an orange and find a whole bunch of lemon inside, right? I'm not going to find a whole bunch of peach inside. I'm not going to find a whole bunch of cherries and apples inside of an orange. And when I peel the orange, I expect to, when I peel that back, peel that skin back and find the inside, I expect to find an orange. Last thing, when I squeeze an orange, what kind of juice do I expect to come from an orange? Orange juice. If I squeeze an orange and pickle juice comes out, I'm going to say, what's wrong with this orange? Why does this orange look like an orange on the outside, but when I squeeze it, apply pressure to it, pickle juice comes out? I wanted something sweet, something sour came out. That's not what I was looking for. A lot of times we talk about that as applying pressure. It's when we go through things, right? When you go through things, you're under pressure. Stuff happens. Bills come. Stuff's going on at home. Stuff's going on at work. You have health problems. You have a car breakdown. All this stuff happens, right? When pressure is applied to our lives, when pressure is applied to anything, what comes out is an essence. And the essence of what comes out should be whatever you put into it. That means that with an orange, if I squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out because only orange juice has been put in. That orange is grown from a seed to its orange fruit now, and it's only grown to be an orange and have orange juice. That's all that's been put into it. I've never put lemon juice into it. I've never put pickle juice into it. And so when I squeeze that orange, orange juice will come out. The issue with us is, in our lives, when we pressure gets applied to our lives, we put way more in our lives than orange juice. We put so many things inside here that when pressure gets applied, these things come out that ought not be, right? So there's the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, when we squeeze a Christian, the fruit of the Spirit should come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, all the self-control. That should come out, right? But instead, sometimes what comes out is anger, wrath, greed, jealousy. This stuff comes out instead when pressure is applied to us. Well, the pressure that can apply to me, Savage, is that person at work said something about me and I didn't like it. So I had a right to go back and tell that person about themselves, right? I've been there. I have coworkers. I know what you're talking about, okay? But what should come out when pressure is applied is the love of God. What should come out is the fruit of the Spirit should come out of us whenever the pressure is applied. But instead, stuff comes out to where we can't even figure out that we are an orange separated from lemons. And now to go find an orange, I have to go find it amongst lemons. And I'm amongst these lemons, yes, as an orange. But if I have an orange amongst lemons, if I go into a bowl, put a lemons around a whole bunch of oranges, if I pull out an orange and squeeze it, orange juice still comes out. Or at least it should. But sometimes we as oranges go around these lemons and we start acting like lemons. We start tasting like lemons. We start looking even like lemons. I can't even pick out an orange anymore from this lemon tree, which those are very distinct. Lemons kind of football shaped, smaller, yellow, got a little more of a bitter taste. Orange is round, bigger, sweet, and it's orange. Sure, it should be distinct and look a lot different than that lemon. But the issue is that orange hanging on the lemons start looking like a lemon and tasting like a lemon. Now all of a sudden, I got lemons with lemons and no oranges to stick out from it, right? That's what happens a lot of times when we apply pressure to our lives, apply pressure to situations. Unfortunately, what does not come out is the love of God. What does not come out is the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to talk about that word apply. When we talk about apply can go towards many different things. Because here's the definition of apply. Like I said, I always like to look up the definition of things. My dad taught me that whenever you speak words, talk about words, you need to know the very, at least root definition of what this word means. The word apply is a verb with several main meanings. It means to make a formal request, to put something to practical use, to spread something onto a surface, or be relevant to a person or situation. So that word apply means a lot of different things. And in many different situations, depending on the situation is how you would use that word apply. Now, when we're talking about apply, I think about back to school. I think about, we always say to yourself, we go to school, you got to apply yourself. You got to apply yourself. Well, somebody's like, well, what does that mean to apply myself in school? What does that mean to apply myself to my studies? What does that mean to apply myself to anything? And I think about, well, not only at your studies, but also with your walk with Christ, you must apply yourself. Well, once again, Savage, you're saying this word and you have a definition, but I need a practical, tangible use of how this word apply affects all that stuff. I'm glad you asked that question because I gave you the answer. Here it is. Apply. Now, if you're taking notes, if you want to do this, I love to have acronyms with words. And so you're going to write apply down one side of your paper. A-P-P-L-Y. A-P-P-L-Y or across the top or however you want to write it because it's going to be a word that coincides with each one of these letters of apply. So APPLY. We talk about applying ourselves to school, to situations, to our walk with Christ, to our study with Christ, to even jobs. We must do this formula when we apply ourselves. Number one, the A, you got to attend. You can't apply if you don't even show up. You can't apply if you don't even show up. Now, I've been working at John 3:16 for almost 7 years now, it'll be 7 years in November, and I've seen and done interviews and had people apply for the job. You know the number one reason why people don't get the job at John 3:16? They don't come to the interview. They make an application, they put an application, and we say, okay, be here at this time, be here at such and such day, at this time, this hour, we'll give you an interview, and they will never show up. And if you never show up, guess what? You're never going to get that job. I'm never going to even consider you for that job because you won't show up. Likewise, in your studies at school, your walk with Christ, if you won't even show up and be there, how can you apply anything to that? If I won't show up at school, how can I apply myself? If I won't show up in my walk with Christ, my walking with God, in my dealings with Jesus, if I won't be present, how can I even apply anything? Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to forsake, do not forget, do not disregard the meeting together. It's so important to show up. It's so important to just be here. You know, we all have jobs. Well, some of us are retired, some of us have different things going on, but you have a job. You show up for that job every single day. Why? Because you're expecting that paycheck. I expect to get paid 2 weeks from a Friday. I will show up and do my hours. When I do my hours, I expect to get paid. And if I don't show up, I don't get paid. And that's why I'm there, rain, sun, shine, sick, or other, right? I expect to be there, and they expect me to be there. My question is, why don't we put that kind of expectation on church and church gatherings? Not just, and I'm not just putting it on you, why don't us as pastors, as leadership, expect you to be here? Because if you don't show up for work, what does your boss do? Where? Well, that's one way. What else? They're going to call. Where are you at? You're supposed to be here at 9 o'clock. What's going on? Hey, I didn't see you at work today. Maybe I missed you. Were you there? You weren't. You weren't clocked in. Well, what's going on? Were you sick? Did you have car trouble? You know, did your dog die? What happened? Whereas here, somebody doesn't show up. Well, they're probably out there just being a heathen, out there gallivanting around doing what they want to do. They'll figure it out eventually. No, 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 no. Your attendance is, yes, your first responsibility is you. But us, we as a body of Christ, we got to look up and say, who's missing? And if they're not here and we haven't heard from them, it's nothing to hurt to check on them. I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm not trying to tell me your life story. But I'm here to tell you that we're here. I'll pray for you. I'm here to support you. If you got something going on, brother or sis, let's walk through it together. You have to walk through it alone. Not only that, if something that you're going on that you're embarrassed about, something going on that you think that's against the word of God, I'm definitely going to talk to you now because I want to walk with you through it. Because guess what? Just like you, everybody else has got something going on in their life that's against the word of God, right? And if that's the case, if that's the truth, we got to walk through it together. We can't say, oh, no, I'm sick. Let me walk away as far away from the medicine as I can. Because if you had a headache, you would go get ibuprofen quick or Tylenol, whatever your drug of choice is. If you were hungry, you'd go find food. You'd not run away from food, right? And Shay said, you're supposed to eat. I love to eat too. If I get hungry, I'm going to go right to the food, right? So why do whenever we get sick or whenever we get things that in our lives that are contrary to God, we run away from God? We run away from God instead of going towards him. We got to be in the presence to even start. You have to attend. I tell you about that hot coal all the time. If you want to be that hot coal, you have to be around the other hot coals. Because here's the thing you should know about somebody who smokes meat and somebody who barbecues. I'm never going to just light one coal by itself. That's silly. And it is useless. If I light that one coal by itself, it burns out and it can't stay warm. But guess what happens when I put all them hot coals together? They stay warm for a long time. I can smoke 12 to 18 hours, right? Nice brisket. I tried that one coal, that brisket won't even get baked, let alone smoked, right? It won't do it, right? You got to be amongst others and who are like mine, amongst other oranges, hang out with oranges and get, stay on fire. You have to attend if you're going to apply. Here's the second thing on that P. You can't just be here. You got to participate. We got to be in there and doing that thing. Because some of us will come here and be like, all right, Pastor, give me the word. Let's see what you got today. Okay, praise team, wow me. What's your beautiful voices and your hearts for praise, and let's see what you got. Make me, cause me to worship the Lord. That's our attitude when we come in here. Give me what I need. Give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, you failed, not me. If I don't get it at church, you failed, not me. Let me tell you something. If you're expecting me or anybody else behind this pulpit to give you the food you need, it's like this. I am the mother bird, you are the baby bird. You don't want me chewing up the food and you eating it after me. I know you don't want that. That's disgusting. But that's what it's like if you sit here and say, all right, Pastor, bring it. I need my daily bread. I need it from you. If you want daily bread from me, I'm going to eat mine. And whatever's left over, I'll give you some of it. But I'm going to tell you right, I'm going to eat mine until I'm full. Until I'm full. And I'm going to share it with you, but it's going to be left over after I've chewed on it for a little bit. You don't want that. You don't want that. I'm not saying you can't come and hear a word from somebody and be encouraged and be inspired and then have a word speak to your heart. What I'm saying is you can't allow only this and me being or us or whoever's behind this pulpit being your daily bread. You have to be actively involved in participating. What you're doing right now, you're active listening, you're amening, you're nodding your heads, or your something's moving, at least you're here and you're hearing, right? So I'm participating in this. I'm in this, and I want to be a part of this. If you come in here and just say, all right, make it happen, it's never going to happen. Some of you guys are athletes in this room, right? Athletes, some of us are former athletes. When you went to the gym, you didn't just go to the bench press. All right, I'm going to sit down here, and I'm going to bench press 315. It's going to happen. It didn't work. It didn't work. I tried a couple of times. It didn't work. I'm still going to that gym and not getting any better in health because I'm sitting in that gym and not doing anything. And I'm thinking, if I just go to the gym, if I'm just there, obviously something's got to rub off and then I'll get in shape, right? No, you have to participate. You have to actively do something while you're there. If I go to the gym and I lift and I run and I do sit-ups and push-ups and all this stuff and I sweat, then and only then will I benefit from going and being at the gym. Likewise, when you come to church, you have to participate. You have to get involved. I'm not saying you have to be audible and amen everything, but if you hear an amen thing, do that. Not for me. It's not for me. It's so that you know and you're saying, I hear you, Lord. Are you speaking, Lord? That's why I'm saying amen. If you hear a word from a song that touches your heart, it's okay to clap. It's okay to say yes. Maybe you're going through something right now. Going through something right now, you heard a word, oh, yeah, at the altar. There's no waste. I know that. That's right. All hail King Jesus. I know that's right. He's coming back. All hail him. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not crazy. You're not goofy. You're not silly. Nobody's going to look at you funny. If they do, that's on them and between God and them. It ain't nothing to do with you. I'm going to worship and praise God. I'm going to participate. You can't stop me from doing it, whether that's during the worship time, the prayer time, or it's the time of opening up the word. Every single time, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to participate. I'm going to be involved. If you don't get involved and you just sit here and expect your cup to get filled, you expect your plate to get full, you're going to keep on expecting because you're not being actively involved in participating. You always heard that statement, a closed mouth, don't get fed. Don't get fed. We have to say in my house, especially once you're not around my family, once you're not a guest anymore, the first time you're a guest, I'm going to tell you the refrigerator is that way, you get this. I'm going to tell you where the plates are. I'm going to tell you where the food's at. The next time, if you sit there and wait for me to tell you again, guess what? You're going to go hungry. Because you know exactly where it's at now, so now you got to participate. And you just get involved. And the third time, after we've vetted you, of course, I need you to bring something with you. I need you to bring a plate of something, a cup of something, a jar of something. Share something with us after you've been vetted first. Because if you don't be coming here with the cookout when you don't been vetted yet. Okay, hold on now. Everybody can't bring potato salad. Everybody can't bring coleslaw. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? We got to make sure we vet people before we bring that. You know what I mean, right? All right, so... But all that being said is you got to participate. You got to get involved. Because if you just sit there and think it's going to happen and fall into your lap, that's not the way it works. It's not the way the kingdom of God works. Next P. You got to attend, participate, and then you have to practice. Practice over and over and over again. Practice attending over and over. I got to practice attending? Yes. You have to keep doing it until you're good at it. Then you got to be great at it. And then you got to be perfect. And guess what? Ain't nobody here got perfect attendance. Nobody here has a perfect attendance. I'm sorry. We don't. So until you get perfect attendance, you have to keep on going. Well, I haven't missed a day at church in 365 days. Great. Because 366, I bet you'll miss one. And then guess what? It starts all the way back over again. Then you're imperfect. You got to be perfect. You got to be perfect in your participation. That means you got to be actively involved every time. Whether you're here or there, you're participating in your walk. You're participating in your filling up of your cup and your plate with Christ. If you don't practice, you will never, ever, ever get it right. There's a poster at our job that kind of coined this phrase and kind of adopted this phrase. Not coined it because it's already been out there. But we adopted this phrase that the goal is not perfection. It's progress. Here's the deal. Perfection only comes when what? When Christ comes back. That's when we'll be made perfect. But until then, every single step towards God is progress. Because if we try to be perfect every single time, we're going to fail. And when we fail enough times, what's going to happen? You're going to want to give up. But if you progress every single step towards Christ, never digressing, always progressing, then you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. But even when we digress, we still turn back to Jesus. And we can progress from there. All right. So progress is the goal, not perfection. But the only way you get progress is by practice. I used to play football back in high school, and we would practice a play probably 25, 35 times. I can tell you right now, to this day, when we ran 26 counter, I knew exactly who I was supposed to block every single time. No matter what the defensive scheme was. We saw a lot of thrown to us. No matter who was there, who wasn't there, no matter what anybody else was doing around the field, I knew if this altered, if this moved, I had to do it this way because we ran that play over and over and over again in every single situation. Was it 3-4 defense, 4-3 defense, nickel package, dime package, a goal line defense? It didn't matter. I knew exactly how to run that play in all those situations. Why? Because we practiced it over and over and over in every situation. Some of us have things that go on in our life we've never, ever encountered. And guess what that is? It's a chance for practice. Because James says earlier, consider it all joy when you meet trials of many kind. Because you know that the trials are testing your faith, and enduring that will make your faith perfect at the end. So when we meet trials, it's a chance for practice. We told you about the van, right? So the van had the issue with the fuse box. It got worked out. I've never had an issue with a fuse box in my life. I had no idea how to maneuver with a fuse box, right? Now, van started getting wonky again the other day. Here's what it was, the alternator. Now, alternators I know about, right? I know about alternators. As soon as it started working, I was like, this is the alternator. This is going to be a little rough. But guess what? Praise God, I know how to move through it. I know how to move through it because I've met that trial before. That trial didn't scare me not one bit. The alternator, I was like, alternator, you got to come better with that, brother. Now, that's not a challenge, I'm just saying. Even when you got to come better with that, if you want me to discourage me, because the alternator, we're good. I said, I fired up Boom Shika, right back on up, that vibe. And we drove her out of there. And she was acting a little funny, too. I said, you know what? She's acting a little funny. Let me stick up this. I know about hoses, because I've had a lot of leaks in some cars. That power steering hose is leaking. Guess what I did? I went over to AutoZone. I said, I need a power steering hose to replace this one. It says it's going to be $11.25. I said, ho-ho, swipe that card. That ain't nothing but a swipe. They said, you need somebody to help. I was like, oh, no, I will get this. I know about hoses. I got the little channel locks, clamp, 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 fired her up. She stopped leaking. I said, oh, yeah, we're back in business. Once again, what else you got? Yeah, I come better than that. Why? Because I practiced. I've been in that moment. Now, if I hadn't been in that moment, I could be like, oh, no, what do I do? What should I do from this point? It's the same thing every time. I'm going to go to the Lord. We start to panic so fast. We want to panic so fast in situations we've never been in. What are we going to do, Lord? We're broke. We're out. We don't know what to do. There's so much stuff going on. Have you tried praying about it, as my wife would say? Did you pray about it? Everybody laughs at her when she says it, but she's so serious. She'll be at work, and they'll be like, this is going on, and we don't know what to do, and there's no medical explanation for this. She goes, did you pray about it? They go, huh? She goes, no, I'm serious. Like, did y'all pray about it? I remember one time, This is something so silly. I forgot what it was. And she goes, did you pray about it? I said, no, I can't find it. She goes, but did you pray about it though? All right, fine. You know what? I'm gonna pray about it. And lo and behold, that glove compartment, there it was. She had to tell the pastor to pray about it. That's the way it goes though, you know what I'm saying? But we have to practice. We can't just attend. We can't just participate and think, okay, I did it once. We're good. I went to church for the year. I was there on Easter. I was there on Christmas. One of my mama, my grandma's birthday. I went on first Sunday. What else? I've been to a couple other holidays. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I met my quota for church this year. That's what I did. 365? No. About 111, though, I did that. That's about a third. That's good. That's not good enough. 365 is not good enough. 720 is not good enough. None of that's good enough. The only thing that's good enough is putting your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ, you would attend, you would participate, and you would practice over and over and over again because you said, my faith, my hope, my trust lies in that which is Jesus. Next one, the L. You have to listen. We are such bad listeners. Oh, we hear everything you're saying. We can hear, right? We can definitely hear. But to listen is something different. My son Rudy, I'll give him a command, and he will reply so quick. I have to stop and say, Rudy, are you listening? And he'll say, oh, I listen? I said, yeah, are you listening? I said, do you want this? Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, you said no a while ago. I was like, I know you love fruit snacks. Don't tell me no. Because if I asked you, you said no, because you're having a little fit when I asked you about fruit snacks, because you weren't listening. You heard me, but you weren't listening. So many times, that's our way with God. So many times, that's our way with the Lord speaks to us. Oh, I heard you, Lord. I heard exactly what you said. You said to go over here and give this person my forgiveness. I heard that. Now, as far as listening goes, we'll see how that works. I heard you. I know that the instructions were clear. Go over here and give this person forgiveness. Go over here and talk about this person. I heard that. But guess what? I'm still mad. I'm still upset. The pressure that was applied to my life, I'm letting out lemon juice because it's supposed to be an orange. I don't care. I'm not going to let it happen. That's what you say to God when you don't listen. That's your response to God when you don't listen. I never said that, Pastor Savage. I know you didn't. But your action is said enough. If that's your response to God when he's telling you to do something and you can't listen, you're saying, God, I'd rather be a lemon than an orange. The essence that you gave me, I will get rid of. I don't want that coming out. What's going to come out is what I want and what I think is best. And that's these lemons, this lemon juice. You have to listen. You know, I told that story a couple weeks ago about the disciples right before Jesus about to feed the 5,000. And he asked them, well, where can I get enough food to feed this multitude of people? And Nathaniel speaks up and he says, even if we could get that, you are broke, sir. He didn't say that. That's my, you know what I'm saying? That's how I saw it. That's what I heard. You are broke, sir. You ain't got the money. You ain't got the funds. You ain't got it. You ain't got it, sir. And of course, Jesus is like, little do you know, I paid it all. I'm about to pay it all. So I definitely got it. But he says, in his mind, and I said, he didn't say this out loud, it wasn't written, but I'm thinking, he's like, that's not what I asked you. I just want to know where I can get this stuff from. Once again, I'm God. I know exactly where to get the stuff from. Matter of fact, I'm about to show you where to get the stuff from here in just a little bit. When you flip that page, I'm going to show you where that stuff's going to come from. These two fish and these five loaves. I know that. I'm trying to figure out if you are willing to listen. And you're not, obviously, because when I asked you that, your response was something that had nothing to do with what I said. Did I ask you about how much money I got in my pocket? Did I ask you about whether or not I could afford to do this? I asked you, where can I get this? And a lot of times we like that with the kingdom of God. Somebody will come to you and say, I just need Jesus. You want to give them this crazy testimony, this crazy saying, this is where I'm going to flex my biblical muscle and show them how much I know about the Bible. Listen, where can I find Jesus? You tell them at the foot of the cross. Lay your burdens down at the altar. There's no way if you do that, you will find Jesus. Simple. But we want to make everything so much more complicated than that. So we look good. So we look cool. So we look a certain way to others. But we have to listen to what God told us to do. Go ye therefore, making disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say give them an existential doctrine. He didn't say go forth and tell them all about the tribulation. I'm not saying you can't do those things. I'm saying he said to go forth and make disciples. The way you make disciples, you tell them about what Jesus did for you, in you, and through you, how they can be do the same thing for them. That's how you make disciples. Nothing more, nothing less. We try to put more of ourselves into the disciple process, we mess it up. It's already good. Just do what God called you to do. Make disciples. Listen. So we're going to attend. We're going to participate. We're going to practice. We're going to listen. Here's the last one. It's a twofer. Two words with this one. We're going to yield, and we're going to yearn. Yield this. Yield your life to the fact that you don't know anything. Yield means to take caution. Sometimes even to stop when it's not safe to pass or to give up the way. If I'm getting on the highway and I'm supposed to yield, I'm supposed to yield to the person who's already going. I'm giving up my way, my space, so that person get by and I just follow my way in the flow of traffic. We're to yield to God's path and will every single time. God's will has never stopped. God's plan has never stopped. It's always gone from the beginning of time. Our job is to yield to that and find out where we fit in that space. I'll never forget when I was learning to drive, learning how to yield onto the highway. My instructor said, now you want to get up to speed, right? You want to find your spot and just slowly slide into there. Because if you don't do it that way, you're going to cause an accident. You yield, you get up to speed, where as fast as they're going, you find your spot and you get in there. That's what we got to do. With the will of God, with the plan of God. You find your spot. God's plan is going on one speed. It's not stopping. There's no faster, slower. God's speed is God's speed no matter what. Ours, we're the ones who speed up and slow down or try to speed up and slow down. And so when we yield to the Lord, we yield to his promise and his plan, we get up to speed. Okay, I got you, God. I see where you're going. I see where it's at. I see what you're telling me. Let me get in my space. I'm just going to stay there. I'm going to go with the flow of traffic. That flow of traffic you're supposed to go with because that's the way of God. I'm going with that. I'm going to yield. I'm going to give up what I want, what I think, and what I know. I'm going to yield to you, Lord. I'm going to do that. And then you're going to yearn. You're going to have a burning desire for more and more and more of that. Because the bottom line is this. You can attend. You can participate, practice, listen, and you can yield. But if you don't have a desire for it, eventually it's going to all fade away. Eventually you're going to stop attending. If you stop attending, you won't participate. If you don't participate, you definitely won't practice. If you're not going to practice, what's the point in listening? What's the point? And then it's definitely yield too, because you're not having attended, practiced, participated, or listened. It's nothing to yield too. You're doing your own thing at that point. Nothing to yield to. So you have to yearn. You have to want it. Talk about that Mike Tyson quote. Discipline is doing what you hate like you love it. None of us, I'm going to say something controversial, but I want you to hear me on this. None of us actually want this life in our own nature. In your human nature, you don't want what God has for you. But somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, I want that in my spirit, though. To be all the time. In my flesh, there's things in my flesh I couldn't care less about. But there's things in my spirit I can't let slide. There's things of God in my spirit I can't let slide. In my flesh, I don't care about that. Yeah, go do what you want to. I don't care. In my spirit, hey, you can't do that. Because you're on a way, on a pathway to destruction. I can't let you do that in my spirit. In my flesh, it's like, psh, it doesn't do with me. Me and my family were good. We ain't got nothing to do with that. That ain't paying me no money, that ain't paying me no mind. In my spirit, though, I'm like, oh, I have to reach out and touch you. I have to get to you. I have to tell you this is the wrong way, it's the wrong path. Not because I'm trying to boss you around and trying to tell you that I'm better than you are, but I do know a better source in my spirit. So, to yearn, to have a desire for the things of God, the only one way to do that, you have to experience the love of God. You have to experience the redemption, the forgiveness of sin. That's the only way to build that yearning. On your own, I can tell you all these things, and it won't matter if you've not experienced the love of God. See, in my experience of the love of God, I know that I've been forgiven, redeemed, restored. I know that these strongholds have been broken, chains have been loosed. I know all that in my dealings with God. I can tell you all those things that can mean nothing to you because you've never ever experienced it for yourself. I can tell you how good my auntie's dressing was all day. I can tell you it's the best dress I've ever had in my life. I can tell you I eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snack, dessert. I can tell you that I can eat it cold, warm, hot. I can eat it 3 days old, 5 days old, 10 days old. I don't care about all the food poisoning. I don't care. It's that good. I can tell you all that stuff. But if you've never experienced for yourself, all you're going to hear is my experience of it. And it will never, ever hit the same until you experience for yourself. But I can tell you this, and you can go with me on this if you've been there before. There's this place, a place here in Tulsa, one of my favorite places to get brunch and to get Creole-style food. It's called Nola's. I hit somebody over here, Nola's. You've never been to Nola's, I'm going to explain to you how Nola's goes. Nola's has got some great food. Cheese grits, dirty rice, pork chops, voodoo chicken, all that stuff, right? If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're in the same boat. Now, these outsiders have no idea what we're talking about. Now, the issue is we want the outsiders to know exactly what we're talking about. So what do we got to do? We got to take them to Nola's. Say, you know what? You've never been? Oh, I'm going to take you to Nola's. I'm going to take you to Nola's. You never tried it? Here, have some of mine. Have a piece. Now that you have a piece of mine, go get your own. Go get some of Nola's. Like, you're going to want some. You never been to Waffle House? What? Let's go experience Waffle House together. Because it's an experience. Food's good. Show's better. Come on. Let's go to Waffle House. I can explain to you Waffle House 3 ways a Sunday. But let's go experience it together. And I bet you want to keep coming back to Waffle House one way or the other. It's like that with our walk with Christ. I can tell you about how good Jesus has been to me. I can tell you about all the things that God's done for me. But I want you to experience it for yourself. I want you to apply what I'm telling you to your own life. And the only way to do that is to experience Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning is, have you experienced Jesus? Is what I'm saying hitting home to you? Is it ringing a bell? Is it a light bulb going off like, oh my goodness? Yes, I need to apply all this to my walk with Christ. I need to apply this to my school. I need to apply this to my work. I need to apply this to everything because I've experienced Jesus. So I'm going to attend. I'm going to participate. I'm going to practice. I'm going to listen. I'm going to yield and learn, and I'm going to do it over and over and over. I'm going to continue to apply every single day until the Lord returns. As bad as you want to keep applying for that job, I'm going to apply for that job over and over and over and over again until I get it. I'm going to apply this to my life until perfection comes. And when perfection comes, I'm going to be made new. Until then, I'm going to apply, apply, reapply, and reapply. Like, I don't want to get burned by the sun. They say you have to reapply your sunscreen every so often. You have to keep applying this to your life so you don't get burned eventually. Have you had that moment? Have you had that time? If you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, I'm going to close. We're talking about applying. We talked about application. We're talking about how we want our lives to be in line with the Lord. But they never will be if we haven't experienced the love of Jesus Christ. See, I experienced the love of Jesus Christ many years ago in my youth group setting. The youth pastor was giving a message about playing the game, about how you are attending church. You know what? You're even participating. You've been practicing a little bit, and you've listened here and there. What you have not done is yielded your life so you don't yearn for God like you think you do. You yearn for the things. You yearn to do Bible studies and worship and do all these things to make it look like you're saved. But you don't yearn for them because you are saved. You yearn for them to make it look like you are saved. My question to you is, are you playing a game this morning? Are you playing a game? I'm at church. I'm singing hallelujah, amen. I'm cutting up and I'm reading the Bible and I'm jumping up and down in praise and I'm praying and all this kind of stuff. But my question is, are you doing it for looks? Are you doing it because you actually have a desire to be and do because you know what God's done for you? You know what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You believe that in your heart. You've confessed that with your mouth. Is that you? Or or you're doing all these things to make sure that nobody finds out that, uh-oh, I'm a fraud. I want anybody to find out that, uh-oh, I'm playing a game. Is that you this morning? If it is, my desire and my push to you is to yield. Give up that way. It's not the way. The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. And so you find your spot, you get up to speed, you find your spot, and you yield. You get into that lane with Jesus if you haven't yet. If you have, why haven't you applied these practices to your walk with Christ? Why haven't you applied these practices in all aspects of your life? You say you are, you're doing it perfect, great. Guess what? You keep on doing it. Because you have to reapply and reapply and reapply, just like sunscreen, so you don't get burned.